So how can this be? I mean, 2 weeks ago, gold was worth $1,500 an ounce. But last week, $1,600 an ounce. This morning, $1,768 an ounce. Did something change? Is there an extra neutron in the atom of gold or something? A few more electrons? Did anything change about gold in the last 24 hours? No. How about the Dow Jones Industrial Average? Well, at the beginning of the day yesterday, it was worth 4% or 6% more than it was at the end of the day. And now this morning, investors say, actually, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is going to rise 200 points. Futures are up, and that's what the suggestion is. These kinds of fluctuations, this kind of volatility, do we know the price of anything? Joining us now is Eduardo Porter, who's an editorial writer for our partner, the New York Times, and the author of The Price of Everything, Solving the Mystery of Why We Pay What We Do. Eduardo, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm great. I'm thrilled, actually, to have you on the program this morning because, you know, there's a search, and the obsession with the gold price is of course, this longstanding search for something with everlasting value, value that doesn't change, and gold seems to fit that bill. But in a sense, volatility and erosion of value is the story of civilization. Things go up, things go down. It's no big deal, right?
Well, I don't know. If you own a house and the price of it just went down by 30%, it is, right? It depends on where you're standing, I suppose. But it's true. I mean, the prices of things tend to fluctuate with supply and demand, and figuring out what determines this supply and this demand is perhaps what we need to do to understand why the price of a given asset or commodity evolved in a particular way.
Well, there are two reasons to ask that question. Why is the price of something this or that? Eduardo Porter is our guest. He's the editorial writer for our partner in the New York Times, and he wrote the book, The Price of Everything, Solving the Mystery of Why We Pay What We Do. You know, you can ask that question to play the market, right?
Mm-hmm.
In which case you're living in the froth, or you can design your strategy to focus on these small business people who we had on the program just a few moments ago, on just the value of their slowly growing business, incrementally adding cash 1 month at a time, opening a new shop maybe, you know, a month from now, 2 months from now. That seems to be more real value than the $190 billion that was wiped out on Wall Street yesterday.
Well, it's at $190 billion is kind of difficult to visualize, right? It's an abstraction in a way. But, you know, that's if you put a few billion people and that's a few, $1,000 for each, right? So if you put it in the right frame of reference, it is meaningful money. But I sort of understand what you're talking about. I mean, the value of the small businessman, which is kind of like the stream of profits that he manages to make from his business, that's
right.
The value of his business to him. That's something very real. He can sense the costs. He knows what he's paying money into. He knows how much of demand people have for his stuff. And that's something that you can really sense every day, whereas money owned by, millions or hundreds of millions of people in their 401ks or debt owned by, foreign governments is something that we really can't quite put our finger on in the same way.
And oddly, the way the news media cover the economy, the psychology sort of is driven by these abstract numbers, and it's very, very hard to characterize these real value phenomena. I mean, if somebody is sitting in their house watching a financial channel and is getting worried about the economy, what they do is not go invest. They go find a different job. They find somebody who is experiencing that real value outside of this sort of psychological roller coaster, right?
Well, yeah, but again, I mean, these numbers, abstract and big, they're very, very real. I mean, you think of the housing crisis. That was millions of people whose price of whose homes, fell below the value of their mortgages. So for each one of them, that was a problem worth, a few hundred thousand dollars that they didn't have. Or right now, the 401ks of a bunch of people, including my own, are suffering pretty hard. So it's abstract when you read it in the paper in terms of indices, but it does hit you in the pocket really bad, and it leads people to spend less. I mean, and that's why these things have all these impacts that, they kind of like domino. So, your 401k got hurt. Well, chances are that you're going to go out and buy the new car are much lower, right, because you're feeling much less secure about this. And so these things ultimately end up hurting demand and hurting the economy. So there's kind of like a negative cycle that gets into play.
If you pay your mortgage and stay in your house, the fluctuation is abstract. But if you go underwater and you can't afford your mortgage anymore, then it's real. Similarly, if you feel as though your 401k is gaining and that motivates you to buy an expensive car, that, I suppose, is real. And if you withhold that purchase because you think your 401k is going away, that's certainly a real phenomenon in the economy, but it's a complicated mix of psychology and mathematics.
That's true. That's true. Confidence is such a key player, and confidence is a function of psychology, right? Of convincing of ourselves that we're doing well or not, that we're worth a lot or worth a little. And this depends on, you know, on abstractions such as our 401k, even if we're not going to spend it for another 20 years, right? Right now it's just a number there in some account. But it will affect our real behavior.
And gold, it's worth $1,750 an ounce?
Well, I guess to some, not to me. I mean, gold is one of these fantastic commodities. We convinced ourselves that it's worth a lot of money because it shines and glitters, and banks have held it as a store of value. Governments across history have too. And I don't know, why gold? Why not, I don't know, rhodium or some other?
I love rhodium.
You know, rhodium is probably very pretty when you look at it in a certain way.
Tulips.
Tulips, yeah. But I mean, tulips have a problem that they die and wither, right? Gold has some permanence to it that kind of helps. But, I mean, in the short term, the reason that gold rises in price right now is that people have, having decided that it's a store of value, they decide that it's a good shield, hedge against inflation. So if they feel that the value of the dollar is going to fall relative to other stuff, well, they don't want to hold dollars. Right. They'd rather hold something else.
Well, they're not holding dollars this morning, although while gold is up about $50 an ounce this morning, the futures on Wall Street are up. So it looks like a turnaround when Wall Street opens. Eduardo Porter, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, John.
Eduardo Porter helping us to discover the price of everything, solving the mystery of why we pay what we do. He wrote that book. He's an editorial writer for our partner, The New York Times.
You come to The New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.